WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Preakness Week around here. I don't need to tell you I'm going to be up at Falston at the local on the 23rd. That's Tuesday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. My hat's around here somewhere. Here it is. I'm going to wear it for Dick because Dick likes when I wear funny hats. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for 5 years. I have props for this segment. We were warned about this. Dick Girardi warned me 2 weeks ago that he'd be coming back to talk more about betting on the Preakness. He swore to me the Derby winner was coming, and the Derby winner is. And you didn't know about that John Waite concert Monday down at Guinness, so you might have come down here a little early, Dick. Dick Girardi joins us, the man, the myth, the legend, always of Rogers Forge, but of Philly. For the last 40 years, he left us and left Sports First to go cover all things horse racing. I've got props for this segment, but I want to just get the race, and then you and I will go down memory lane. How are you feeling about all the horses skipping the Preakness other than the winner? I mean, this isn't good.
No, I'm disappointed, Nestor. I mean, I love the race, right? I grew up there. My first Preakness, believe it or not, was, 50 years ago, and Secretariat, 1973. So I have an affinity for the race. I find it unfortunate that only one horse out of the Derby is coming. Good news is, it is at least it is the Derby winner. And it's the first time in the modern era that we've only had one horse out of the Derby coming to the Preakness. Now, I define the modern era as 1969. That's when we went to the present format of Derby first Saturday in May, Preakness 2 weeks later, Belmont 3 weeks after that.
Why did that happen? Was that Rune Arledge and TV and ABC? Like, you know, I blamed it on Howard Cosell this week because
Why not blame it on Howard? Now, blame it on anybody you want to blame it on. But, I mean, over time, it has changed. There were times when the Preakness was actually run before the Derby, way back when. They were a week apart. But this has been the modern spacing of the three races. And what's changed, of course, is that the big-time horses do not run back in 2 weeks anymore, except during the Triple Crown. And unfortunately, little by little, each year, more and more of the horses in the Derby. And I specifically think of Two Fills, who finished third, Angel of Empire finished second, Two Fills and Angel of Empire was third, are not running in the Preakness. They would always run in the Preakness. I mean, they ran really well in the Derby, but their trainers,
as you predicted,
not
by the way, I just want to give the Two Fills. You told me Two Fills. I had that in my exacta. Yep.
Good. No, he ran. I thought he was the winner at the top of the stretch. And then Mage came out. I mean, came from nowhere. And I mean, look, Mage deserved to win. He ran great. But I thought I had the winner for about 10 seconds. Unfortunately, they don't pay you for the top of the stretch. You got to get all the way, home. But I just think it's the 2 weeks, Nestor. That's the issue. And look, the Maryland Jockey Club people are aware of this. They've made their decision. They've known that the Preakness is impacted by the new modern way of spacing trainers do with their big time horses. And they've made the decision that they don't want to move the race. They like it on that third Saturday in May. They like it where it's an event. I mean, it's more obviously than just a horse race. It's an event. So that's the decision that has been made. And they're just going to have to live with it. The Preakness is not going to be as good a race as it could be. We're at a month after the Derby, but that's just the way it is.
So before this segment, and I'm not really fully prepared for you, Dick, in the way that I should be. I thought I'm going to pull out all of my props from all the years of Preakness. I'm going to grab them. And literally in the time that I filled my Royal Farms my Cole Roofing mug with Royal Farms coffee before the segment, I found all of them. I literally walked in the other room and they were on the top of a pile because I had pulled all my Ravens passes out because I don't know if you know, but I attended 300 Ravens games and then they threw me out. So I actually had all the passes in one place because,
they threw you out.
Yeah, it's a long story. They're billionaires. I don't know if you've met those before. So the other day, Jamie Costello shared a piece in the 1987 Preakness that Tommy Conwell and the Young Rumblers. So I started pulling out all of these crazy passes. They're all right here. I want to hold them up. This is how thick they are. Okay. These are just all Preakness passes from over the years. So they're all in one envelope. So, like, right here, Nestor Aparicio, WNST. They're all different. Preakness 124, 134, 134. So that was 15 years ago.
What year is that?
This is Preakness 123. Well, we're at 48 now, right? So that was 25 years ago. So 25, I guess it was 97, 98, somewhere in there, right?
98. Real quiet, Bob Baffert. Yep.
Here we go. 1997. Preakness, May 17, 1997. Nestor Aparicio. Preakness 121. Yes. What year is this? 1996. What was that? Wow. Ali Sheba? No, what was that?
Ali Sheba was 87. 96 actually was one of the last times the Derby winner didn't come to the Preakness, but Grindstone won the Derby, but he got hurt. He never ran again.
Okay, here's 95 Preakness here. What was that?
Ooh, Timber Country.
All right, Wayne 94 Lewis. Preakness, May 21st, 94. Who was that?
94. Oh, boy. That's a really good. Well, Virgin won the Derby. Didn't win the Preakness. It's not coming to me.
93? No. You know all the derbies, but that you sometimes you forget the Preakness sometimes the Preakness is Gato del Sol or something, right?
Yeah. Sea Hero won the Derby. Yeah, who won the Preakness in 93? Wow.
These are special to me because this is my 1985 Pimlico press card. So you can see that there. Old school.
That was actually the year I came to Philly. And remember, Spendabuck won the Derby and famously passed the Preakness to come and run at Garden State Park.
87. What was 87? That was
Ali Sheba over BetTwice. Yep. And they ran 1-2 in the Derby and the Preakness. And then BetTwice won the Belmont by 14 lengths.
Here's something you haven't seen in a long time, Dick. Bowie.
Yeah.
That's not David Bowie. That's Bowie.
Many a winter day spent at beautiful, well, not really, Bowie. And I was there for the finale in July 13th, 1985, the last day at Bowie. And you know what they gave away that day, Nestor, at Bowie? They gave away dirt. They gave away vials of dirt. What could be better than that?
Here's one, Preakness 85. This was the one where the Derby winner didn't come. That's right.
No Spendabuck. I got a great Bowie story for you. So on the final day, I went back just to write a story for. I've been at Philly for about a couple of months. I went back to write a story about it. And I recounted the day a year or so before where I went to get a hot dog at the concession stand. And I went up and the woman hands me the hot dog. I mean, it is just burnt to a crisp. And I said, I really like a hot dog that isn't burnt. And she looks at me, she looks at the hot dog, she looks at me again. And then she turns the hot dog over and goes, "It's not burnt on this side." I said,
it was awesome. You know who would have appreciated that humor? A guy named Mike Marlowe. I have his press pass from 87. Tell him if he wants it back, he can come find me, okay?
So Mike Marlowe had a Preakness press pass.
Clearly, I was Mike Marlowe that day.
Yeah, that's back in the day before they put pictures on the press passes.
Reason for that. Dick Girardi is here. Tell everybody what you're doing this weekend, because you worked for the Daily News for a long time. You work on game days out on the interwebs, and it's made a lot easier. You don't have to go to the track to bet this week.
No, you do not. You can bet on your phone. And this week I'm working with our good buddy Jimmy Shapiro for betonline.ag, doing interviews with folks like you, old friends like you, and different people around the country, and talking props from BetOnline. And BetOnline actually has Mage at 7-5. You can get him at 7-5 at the moment. I think he could go lower. Mage to win the Preakness plus 140 or 7-5. How about this one, Nestor? Mage to be in the top three. Minus 300. So you got to lay 300 to win 100 to get him in the top three. But it's a short field, right? He's only got to beat five horses, and a couple of them have no chance. So that seems like a reasonable bet. Over under on the winning distance, 1.5 lengths. What do you think?
I mean, they're prop bets for a reason, right?
Like absolutely. Try to get both sides to like equal part of the action, and you get the vig. It's a great world out there.
Well, yeah, listen, I said this earlier this week. I had Marty McGee and I went, around five turns, like literally this week on our friendship. And I know you were, Marty very well. Stepped down at Daily Racing Form, and he has stepped down.
He's now the agent for Jockey Joe Talamo. Yep.
You know, I was talking to him about gambling through all the years and whether he's ahead or behind. And he admitted he's behind for life as far as cashing tickets. Yep. And I said, That just seems like such a crazy admission after 40 years of doing this, right? I don't know if you're ahead or behind, but I told everybody this week, you would say that this is the best day. When I was a kid in 86, 87, literally, you would say this is the day guys like you get rich because you're betting with the idiots.
Yeah, now Derby, it's a must bet Derby Day, Preakness Day, Belmont Day, Breeders' Cup, because you have more uninformed money. If you're at Pimlico on a normal Friday, you're playing against people that have information probably as good or better than you have. So it makes it a lot more difficult. But yeah, now it's mandatory that you play these big race days for the reason you said, because there's just a lot of dumb money in there and you want to play against dumb money.
Well, you give me the prop bets and stuff. I don't know what dumb money is on whether the horse is going to win by a length and a half or not. But as far as people going to the track, give me some value. What would you tell someone about going to the track if they've never been and they're going to bet? Obviously, stay to $2 bets. But to find value, how do you find value as literally a professional? You're a professional, Dick.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a different game when you're talking about people just going to the track for the first time, just trying to enjoy themselves and maybe walking out with more money than they started with or not, don't get beat too bad. You just stay in the win pool. And if you want to cash tickets, you can bet win place and show your horse finishes third. You'll still cash. You're not going to win any money, but it's just something to do. But if you're a serious player, Nestor, the whole game is about putting yourself in the correct position. And then you got to get fortune at some point. There's a lot of good luck, good and bad in this game. Framing bets around your best opinions and then going for it. Are you in the pick three? Are you in the double? Are you in the exact? Are you in the win pool? What are you in? And then whatever you think you're supposed to do, don't waver. Just stick to what you thought and start firing. And if you really believe in something, bet like you're serious. Take a few risks.
How has this evolved? Did you win more money in the 80s, 90s? Like, have you literally gotten better at it in your own mind? And has it become easier or harder? I don't want to say to game it, but to gauge it.
Yeah, I was probably at my best at the very beginning, Nestor, when I was in my 20s and almost nobody was playing with buyer speed figures. You got prices back then that you never would get today. I actually went back. I was doing something for it. I was actually working on a book for DRF. They never ended up publishing it. But I went back and looked at some of my old books on how I was doing. And I kept a journal in the 70s. And I would have meets like at Pimlico and Timonium where my ROI, return on investment, was like 80%, 100%. Those numbers are unheard of today. You can't do that today because now the buyer figures are in the DRF. Everybody sees it. So now I wish they'd had the type of bets they have now back in the 70s. I suspect I'd have done even better than I did. But now I'm much more selective. I don't follow. I mean, there were three or four years in Maryland where I did not miss a single day at Laurel, Bowie, Pimlico, or Timonium. So I knew the circuit cold. I mean, that's before I had a regular job. My job was to go to the track, and that's what I did. And so, yeah, you're going to be better. But, yeah, now it's just I play a lot of the contests because I think that's where I'll play the contest this weekend for the Preakness Day. That's kind of where the edge is because a lot of the computer-assisted wagering guys have taken the edge out of pick sixes. They just overwhelm the pools with money. You may not know this, but there are groups of players out there.
Yeah, consortiums, right? I mean, like the
right. Yeah, but they have algorithms and they account for about 30 to 40% of all the play nationwide. And even on the big race days, they affect these pools because they bet so much money. So you got to deal with them. Back in the day, you never had to deal with anything like that.
They're so sophisticated. Yeah. Like, that's why I asked you about it, because I knew it was complicated, and I knew you as being you could have it make sense to me. I mean, I'm trying to make sense of all of it. The industry, and this week, everyone I've talked to about the race has talked about the deaths of the animals at Churchill and the fact that dog tracks are shut down and over with. Marty McGee and I talked about that the other day. And the fact that SeaWorld shut, where's the future of this thing? I mean, you've had your life involved in this. I don't know if your kid was 22, if you'd say, get into the horse racing business, there's a future in that.
No, I would not do that. I got into newspapers and horse racing, right? Good exact. So Look, it's a huge problem. It's a gigantic public relations problem. Obviously, after the Derby, nobody was talking about the Derby winner. Everybody was talking about the horses that were euthanized after injuries at Churchill Downs, or in two cases, died mysteriously after they'd run in a race. And there's no way you can possibly put a happy face on it. It's the real downside of the sport. And interestingly, Nestor, in the last, I'd say, since the Santa Anita problems in 2019, the industry's really done a very good job. The numbers are down dramatically. The protocols are better. I think the track surfaces are safer in general. But this was a terrible time for it to happen because everybody's scrutinizing it. Unfortunately, it does happen. You're never going to get to zero when your animals are 1,000 pounds running 35 miles an hour on legs that are thinner than ours. There are going to be injuries. And unfortunately, because the patient, the horse, is not a good patient, you can't say, hey, just go sit in the bed and wait for your leg to mend. It's a problem. And when the horse can't be saved, I mean, you would do that for any of us. We all do it for our animals, right? If there's a point where the animal's going to be in pain, you're going to make sure that he's not in pain. But yeah, it's really an unfortunate part of the game, for sure.
Dick Girardi is here. He does all things horse racing. He'll be wagering this weekend against the betting public. By the way, I found my Saratoga ticket just to prove to you that I actually went to Saratoga.
Oh, nice.
Well, I mean, look, man,
you've been everywhere.
I got thrown out of the press box last year after they let me in. So I have no idea how this weekend's going to go. The whole world changed on all of this. I have no idea.
And then you got tossed? Wow. They don't know who you are, man.
She knew who I was and threw me out anyway, which made it even funnier. Wow. I'm like, I'm the only guy in the city that talks about horse racing. I was sitting at Guinness the other night for the John Waite thing, and a guy starts yelling at me, "Hey, man, what are you doing in here? I just heard you on the radio. Aren't you live on the radio?" So we get to talking, and he was on my Belmont bus for Smarty Joe. His name's Joe. Great guy. Wow. He was on my Belmont bus for Big Brown, and he wound up not going for American Pharoah and still sort of regrets it. And we got to talking about this, and he said to me, "You know, you're the only guy that talks about horse racing in the city, right? Like, BAL doesn't talk about it. The fan," like, "they don't know anything about it. They don't care about it. I've cared about it because I went out with these people in the 80s. And listen to the Marty thing if you want to hear me wax on about Howard Cosell and Clem Florio and Charlie Ekman and Chris Thomas. You and I did that 2 weeks ago. But it is a special, important thing. And Bruno Mars is coming in this week. And I don't know what the outcome is. And I don't want to spend a half an hour talking about whether that glass thing's ever going to get built out there and whether they're ever really going to develop the neighborhood and, like, all of that stuff. I just want to appreciate it for what it is and hope we get good weather this week and go out and have a good time, because it really is, Dick, I'm going to hold these up again. This is literally just to see the thickness of these passes. This is my life every third. This is my life every third Saturday since 19. Wow. I showed you 1985, right? Yeah. I've missed three or four or five. I mean, there were years where they didn't even send me a press credential form and didn't credit. Like, they don't. This was a good one, by the way. Kentucky Derby 125 party. I remember that one being a really good one. So I have all my horse racing memories, and it means something to me, Dick. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's going to mean anything to the next little Nestor running around Dundalk that didn't grow up with Ron Franklin on Spectacular Bit.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Nestor. I mean, that you and I did live through those eras. And again, for me, this will be, I haven't been to all of them since secretary, but I've been to most of them. So I'm probably in the mid 40s, maybe I've been to 45 Preaknesses. And everybody always asks me, what's your favorite Triple Crown race? And the answer is easy. It's the Preakness, right? Because it's home. It's the first one I went to, and I've been to the Derby 34 times. And the Derby is cool, but it's not Baltimore. You know, there's no crab cakes in Louisville. There's no crabs. There's no Dundalk. So it's not the same. So, I'm with you.
How good could it be?
Yeah, exactly. They got no Dundalk there. They have no Ron Franklin that came out of Dundalk to ride the Great Spectacular Bid and all the great memories at Pimlico. They didn't have the Seabiscuit War Admiral match race at their track. So,
Kegasus. We had Kegasus here. I remember Kegasus.
That's true. I remember the running of the
running of the urinals.
Running the urinals.
Yeah, I reshared that with Mickey Coachella and I talking about that because we witnessed that. We were You're a part of that. Look, man, I did crazy stuff out there back in the day. I was a kid and like all that. And I get all that. Yeah. I want to know what the plan is. You know what I mean? And I want them to stop running from people like me who ask what the plan is, because I care.
I read a story the other day. I guess it was the Baltimore Banner, about what the plan is. And obviously the plan has changed because the pandemic came, and now it sounds like they want to put everything into Pimlico, which is fine by me. As long as the Preakness stays at Pimlico and they find a way to keep racing going in Maryland, I'm fine. I know it's complicated. The world keeps changing, but it's such a huge part of the state and has been. And there's such a great tradition. I mean, in Pennsylvania, where my home track parks, they'll be 50 years old next year. 50 years is nothing. Right. I mean, they opened in 1974. So they have no history compared to a state like Maryland. And yet Pennsylvania racing is in way better shape because of the way it was legislated and the fact that the slots money went to the purses, all the things that didn't happen in Maryland, which is really unfortunate because Maryland deserves way better because it's such a great horse racing state.
Well, I mean, I saw Marty representing a jockey down in Kentucky, and just talks about how much money's down there in the races.
Oh,
and that's always been the issue in Maryland, is if you own a horse, you train a horse, you race a horse, you're a jockey on a horse, you want to be where you can make the most money. And and that's what chased the McCarrans and all those guys out of here a generation ago, right? All those guys, right?
Yeah, the battles when I was there, my brief time writing for Sports First and doing some freelance stories for the Old News American was, consolidation of the racetracks. And Bowie had no particular reason to exist, and then they finally got rid of it. But I mean, there was a lot of politics involved. I remember Governor Mandel got in serious trouble back in the day because, he was owning a piece of Bowie or something. I don't remember all the details anymore, but it was crazy stuff. But it was just nobody could ever get their act together. And then, I thought that Frank DeFrancis did a really good job when he took over, but then unfortunately he passed away. And then now the world has changed again, and nobody seems to be able to figure it out. And I really feel badly. I hope that somebody can figure out, because Maryland deserves better than what's going on.
If you need a parking pass from Bowie in 1985, I have one here for you. It's all awesome. That's why I was so glad I found this when I freshened my coffee. Dick Girardi is here. Tell everybody where you're going to be this weekend and how to bet with you.
Right. So I'll be doing, as I said, a lot of radio spots for betonline.ag. Your good friend and mine, Jimmy Shapiro from South Jersey, now lives out in Seattle, puts them all together. So I'll be talking about the Preakness and Pimlico, the field, the undercard races. We got a real good Black Eyed Susan. And I think one of the big stories of the weekend, beyond obviously Mage, who is the big story, if he wins, he'll be going for the Triple Crown at Belmont Park, is the return of our friend Bob Baffert to the Triple Crown. Has not had a horse in a Triple Crown race since Medina Spirit in the 2021 Preakness. We don't need to go over all the details of what happened, but Bob will be back in town tomorrow night. He'll have Phase of the Favorite, the Black Eyed Susan, on Friday. He's got National Treasure. I think that's a real chance at the Preakness on Saturday. And I'm sure he'll be at Timonium on Monday and Tuesday buying two-year-olds. He bought one last year there for $3 million. And by the way, if you're interested in that two-year-old sale at Timonium, there was a two-year-old bought there last year for $290,000. The horse's name, Mage. He won
Mage.
The Kentucky Derby.
All right. Hey, by the way, Baffert and I text together because I was Monday night. This is how ignorant the public here is. I mean, I'm just honestly, and how bad they are, Pimlico and the track, at getting any information out at all. I was at the Guinness joint with John Wade. People talking and they're saying. So it was great. So I met John Wade. It was a good time. And I got there about 4:30, and people were talking to me. And I, like a lot of racing media people, regular media people who haven't seen me because the Ravens threw me out. So I was talking to Pete. Sean Stepner was there, Morgan Adsit. So I'm talking to people. And three or four people mentioned to me, it's Shane Baffert's not in the race. And I'm like, hold on. I had Dick on 2 weeks ago. Baffert's like done after Kentucky and Churchill, and that's the war and the lawyers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I look up, see National Treasure. I'm like, people don't even know he's in the race. Then he doesn't come till Thursday night. He's obviously, right. He used to do my show all the time, sort of famously, in front of the roses that he usually had won the day before.
Yep.
And he texts me back and said, now you got the biggest star in the sport, beleaguered, with a 30-year friend. And I said, hey, any chance you can Zoom in? He's like, sorry, I'm not doing any Zoom. I get in Thursday night. And I said, travel safely. Good luck. Win some races. Thanks for always coming on. Appreciate you. And he sends me, thanks, my man. And he sends me F-A-I-Z-A. And I'm like, is that some Italian for he likes it, wants to get a drink? Or like, I'm like, I was about to like Google translate it. And then I realized, oh, that horse is running in the black eye. I get it. So I looked at, but his last word to me was F-A-I-Z-A. And I'm like, what the hell's Bob trying to say to me? You know? So I had to go check it out.
Yeah, she's the best 3-year-old filly in the country. She's undefeated. She couldn't run in the Kentucky Oaks because he's banned from Churchill Downs. I mean, that's over now. But look, last year he couldn't run in the Triple Crown races because he was in the middle of a 90-day suspension over Medina Spirit's disqualification of the 21 Derby. But he's been able to run everywhere else except Churchill Downs tracks for a while now. But now he can run anywhere, which is good news because you and I have been over it. But the idea that the sport seemed to make him into Lance Armstrong over what was an anti-inflammatory therapeutic medication that can't be used on race day. It was just absurd and unfortunate and the biggest name in the sport. It'd be like, I think I've said this to you, it'd be like Adam Silver. Let's just see if we can figure out how to make an example of LeBron James. I mean, seriously, what are you doing? It's crazy. So good. I'm glad Bob is back and he's live. Phases should win on Friday. And I think National Treasure is going to have a real chance on Saturday.
All right. And last thing for you, I came to your homeland. I didn't bother you last week because I went to see Seal Wednesday night. It was one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen. I went to Anthem and I've been to a lot of concerts, Dick. It takes a lot to impress this young man. And I was holy ish, this is unbelievable.
Where was that out?
That was at the Anthem on Wednesday. And then all day Thursday, I was thinking about Seal and looking at the videos I made the night before and listening to some music. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I wonder where else he's playing. Maybe he's in New York because my wife is out of town. I'm like, I'd love for her to see the show. He's in Philly that night. Tickets were cheap at the Met. I'd never been to the Met. I'm like, to my back. Do I really want to get in the car? Am I in the mood for a cheesesteak? And by like 3 o'clock, tickets had dropped and this and that. So I bought a ticket and I came. I just last minute, 4:45, I bought a ticket, jumped in the car and went. I wound up in North Philly. They charged me $50 to park in a cage 6 blocks away. I just want to bitch to you because it's a Philadelphia tradition to bitch, especially in North Philly. But I'm not coming back. And like, honestly, you should have given me a place to park. I thought we were friends.
No question. I apologize. I would have done that. I would have dropped you off. You could have parked at my house, but I didn't know you were coming. You didn't tell me.
Listen, if I would have been smarter, and I had a long night in D.C. Wednesday, so that was kind of like I didn't want to long. And Taylor Swift was playing in Philly that night. I had to avoid all that. So had I come up earlier, really thought about it, but the palestra wasn't involved that day, I would have had your cheesesteak. Like, you have a place up by your house, Northeast Philly, I know, that you're playing.
Yeah, they actually moved. They're actually nearer where you were. The place that they had in Northeast Philly closed, but they're down in Pigtown, which is just north of Center City. Or not Pigtown, Fishtown.
So
Pigtown.
I could have gone to your place. It would have been better.
Yeah. You'd have been right. You drove right past it.
All right. I'm coming back to Philly in a couple of weeks. I'm going to find you. Okay. Right. I'm not talking BS with this Palestra thing. It's really important.
Just look at the schedule. We can make it happen.
I came up to Schuylkill and I saw, I saw Penn and I saw Franklin Field. And I think of you. Like, I swear to God, you're on my brain.
If you were on the Schuylkill, you saw Franklin Field. You saw the plaster because it's right next to it.
When I paid $50, they gave my credit card. It was twice as much as I paid for the ticket. I thought, friggin' Girardi. I thought he knew people. Love you, Dick. Win some wagers this weekend. Cash in big. Dick Girardi, my lifer friend, still waiting for this. You had one of these. I know you were parked at Bowie back in 85. breaking out all the – who won the Derby in 05, Dick? Who won the 05 Derby?
2005 Kentucky Derby was won by Giacomo at 50-1.
Not fight Fushaishi Pegasus? That was a different year?
That was 2000, I think, if I have the year right.
War Emblem. What year was that? 03.
2002.
Okay. All right. I love horses. Dick Girardi will be at the track. Go bet with him. Take care of him. Find him out on Twitter. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Preakness. Hi-ho, Pimlico.